Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
Patient. Faith. Somebody just lift your hands and say, help me now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Be seated, please, in the presence of the Lord. I want to call your mind to the last time you failed in your faith. The last time you couldn't press through to the end of whatever the challenge was. I don't want you to testify just yet. I just want you to think about the moments you have had where you decided it was no longer worth waiting on God. For all of the moments that you have failed in your faith, I've got a question. What happened? Why did you ever stop believing? What was said or done to make you think that the blessing you desired could never happen for you? Was it the death of a loved one that you prayed for that ultimately passed that caused you to not faith again? Was it the loss of something, as in a home or a car, that suffocated the strength of your hope? Was it the number of obstacles that continued to arise that made you feel as if believing was too much of a burden? Why did you ever stop believing? I want to tell you something that will probably catch you by surprise, but it shouldn't. It is simply this. This life is not designed to complement our faith. This life is not designed to complement our faith. It is, however, designed to challenge it. And even with the challenging of our faith, Elder Rhett, we are never given permission to stop believing. So it is that we must, with our faith, learn how to navigate all of the vicissitudes of life, becoming stronger with each obstacle, stronger with each challenge, stronger with each test. I want to give to you what I believe is the platform, at least, that we want to work from today. And it's this premise. The number one indicator to a life of faith is patience. I just want to make sure you heard me. Okay? All right. I'm calm today because I'm gonna push this down your throat. Okay? So thank you, Jen and Lady Kim, for the exhortation. Thank you, Praise Team, for singing that amazing song, because now I get to come and just talk calmly and tell you the number one indicator to a life of faith is patience. I'm going to say it one more time because I need this to stick in your bones, okay? The number one indicator to a life of faith is patience. Too often, patience, we feel, means to sit idly by accepting what happens to us. We think patience means to roll with the punches, as it were. Well, that's not what biblical patience is in our text today. The word patience given in the King James Version is the word endurance or determination, or as the Amplified Bible expresses it, active persistence. I want you to hold on to that. Patience is active persistence. It is quite literally the refusal to quit. And this is what the text teaches us, Mother Jo, that we are to run with. It's literally an emphatic preposition or an emphatic preposition, meaning This is the condition. This is the mindset. This is the behavior you and I are supposed to adopt even before we arrive at any obstacle or challenge. We're supposed to have it already set in our mind that in this race we run with Jesus, we will be actively persistent before any problem shows up. It has to already be our determination. We will last. We will win. We will persist. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? In other words, the race we run, we must enter it with the understanding that this is a marathon and not a dash. This is funny because a lot of what we've been taught, particularly as it comes to faith, is that if we faith right or faith hard enough, we can make it happen quickly. Okay. We think if we follow the seven principles of faith, whatever those seven principles are, I've not identified seven. At any given moment, on any given obstacle, I see 12, 14, 92. Okay. And really, really, faith only has one principle. Patience. Okay, wait. When we start off, we got to start off saying, I'm in it for the long haul.
Yeah.
And whatever happens, the only possible outcome is victory. We have to arrive at the race of faith. I'm just setting my foundation, Danny. We have to arrive in the race of faith with the same confidence of the little engine that could. No matter how steep the hill, I think I can. Okay. The nursery rhymes don't bless you, huh? Okay. The problem is, too often we allow the problems we face to frustrate us and rob us of our patience. And we stop actively persisting, Nicole, in the race that we are in. We get frustrated, so we stop. It takes longer than 3 months, so we stop. It doesn't happen for us the same way it happened for our cousin, so we stop. Okay. I fully expected no celebration on today. So you're not breaking my heart or hurting my feelings by not talking back to me. I just need you to understand, you're gonna eat this, okay? This is what we do. I saw this example play out in my goddaughter Avery. Avery did this thing a few weeks ago. She was tired, but she wanted to put her shoes on. Okay. And Avery is, how old is Avery? 1 and some months, right? See, I was trying to be good. 6 months, she's 18 months. Okay, she's throwing up fingers, and I can't read Roman numerals. Like, what is that? Okay, so Avery's tired, but she wants to put her shoes on. So she grabs the shoe, and she fumbles trying to get it on. And when it doesn't work, she just slams the shoe down like she's spanking it or something, right? And then she goes at it again, trying to put the shoe on. Shoe won't go on. And then what does she do? She slams it down, and then she throws her hands up. Like, and then she grabs the shoe again. And she tries to put the shoe on. And this time it really looks like it's gonna go. She's really nowhere close to getting the shoe on. But this time it looks like she might have progress. And she feels that progress is going. She's about to put the shoe on. And then the shoe doesn't go on. And she screams. And she throws herself back. And I watch her. Because I'm tripping out. I'm like, wow, this shoe is really bothering her. And after about a minute, she sits up and she grabs the shoe again. And she keeps fumbling with it. And I watch this exercise of active persistence. Okay. And frustration. Active persistence and exhaustion.
Active persistence and failure. Active persistence and continuing to be overwhelmed with the inability to make it happen. And not one time, obviously, does she ever think this can't happen for her. Because as much as it frustrates her, she's determined in her mind, this shoe must go on my foot. So I turn her around and put her back to me. She fumbles with the shoe again, but this time I just, you know, take my finger and nudge in the right places to help her. She ain't paying no attention to me. She's fumbling, but I'm just, her back is to me, so she's not looking at me. She just knows that this time she's moving a little better than she did the last time, and this time that, oh, the big toe is here. Y'all are hearing it. She just keeps fumbling. She doesn't realize, she hadn't thrown herself down now because she realizes her active persistence is paying off. And then here's what happens, Mike. By the time she realizes that the shoe is on, she can't celebrate the fact she had help. But she turns and looks at me with a look that says, told you. Lean in, I want to try to help you a little bit. I know your marriage is messing up. Keep fumbling and being exhausted. Keep fumbling and being frustrated. Keep fumbling with your children and being overwhelmed. Keep fumbling through the job and actively persisting. Because when you continue to press forward, here's what God does. He comes up right behind you and he just puts his finger in on it. And he adjusts what you can't adjust. He fixes what you can't fix. I don't know why I'm yelling now, but tell your neighbor, if I actively persist, I get God's help. So we got to have patience, right? We got to have endurance. We have to have determination. Okay, this is what the text is teaching us. And then it goes a step further and it shows us honestly how it is that we can be successful in the race and ensure that we do not lose heart or stamina. So that in our active persistence, there are fewer moments of frustration, fewer moments of exhaustion, fewer moments where you throw yourself back and allow failure to creep into your mind. How does it happen? These are the ways. I got two I think I can get to you this morning. Watch this. We must run with the reminder of our witnesses. Hebrews 11 offers 18 specifically named heroes of faith. In verse 32 of chapter 11, the writer tells us there's not enough time and space to list all of those who have held strongly to their faith in God and all that they endured. All of these completely ordinary people, I know we've elevated them to superhero status, but every single one of them were normal persons just like us, and they all remind us that God is faithful. They all remind us, are you ready, that we are not the first to have to endure. I know your problem is pressing hard on your chest, but you know you are not the first one to have to go through that. Sister Angela, 1 Peter 4 and 12 reminds us to not even be surprised at the trials that we go through as if something strange was happening to us. No, this is a part of life. Because remember what I told you at the onset, this life is not designed to complement your faith. This is the life. And you're not the first to deal with what you're dealing with. This isn't brand new. It might be the first time you've seen it, but this ain't the first time it's been seen. Y'all ain't saying nothing. What are you telling us? I'm saying to you, even as 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 reminds us, that the temptations, the tests, the trials, the struggles in our lives are no different from what others have experienced, but God is faithful. And since God is faithful, then we can have faith. The cloud of witnesses now become for us not just spectators to what we do here on earth, but forerunners of faithful living. In other words, when your obstacle comes, you find a witness who has already run that course and you follow that path. Yes. Let me see if I can help you. So if you're dealing with unfavorable odds, talk to Sarah.
Okay.
If you're dealing with lengthy time in the process before manifestation, consult Abraham. If you're having uncertainty in God's instructions, then Noah is your witness. Whatever it is you're dealing with, it's already been dealt with before through faith. Why is it that we believe the experience of everybody but those who did what they did in faith will follow a recipe in a cookbook? But we won't follow the recipe when faith is the primary ingredient. Okay, let me see if I can help you a little bit. Lisa, this is gonna hurt. You ready? You ready? Somebody shout, I'm ready. Even if you're lying, type, I'm ready. Okay, so here it is. Too often, we don't want the instructions for how to press through with faith. We want sympathy. Let me tell you one of the things that trips me out, Dr. Cross.
Sir, it's me, sir.
People come to me and here's what they do. They tell me their problem because they say at least they want help. Okay. And if my answer even mentions the word faith, Jen, they don't want to hear that. And then they'll go back, Sister Cannon, they'll find somebody else. Tell them the exact same situation.
Yes, sir.
And that person doesn't give them any instructions that will actually help them progress. But they sympathize with them. And the sympathy becomes the source that they pull from. Because honestly, not everybody who's walking and following after God actually wants to win. Not everybody who's in the Christian church go church club actually wants victory in their life. There's this saying that misery, you know it, don't you? So sometimes we just like being around other people who will help us rehearse all of the bad stuff we got going on in our lives. We don't actually want a recipe or instructions that will help us to move through this race with active persistence. Because here's the thing, active persistence means you gotta be doing something. And if you don't want to do anything, if you just want to sit and sulk, you will always have people to sulk with you. It's never hard finding people to pity you. It is never hard finding people to just give you compassion and just sympathize with you. And some of them will even give you money to help satisfy or at least anesthetize the present moment of pain that you are in. But when you really want to move beyond where you are and into what God has actually promised you, you don't stay in the pity party. I should probably make this more preachy and then that way they'll receive it better. I don't know. Because if they don't like me now, you're sure not going to like point number two. Tell your neighbor you got to put in the work. And do this now. You don't put in the work without a witness. Find your witness and run. If your background is sketchy, but you believe God called you, talk to Rahab. I should have preached this down the street. They would celebrate right there. They would, yeah, because it's more of us closer to Rahab than we are to Peter. I guess I'll run on.
Might as well.
Okay. Let me give you the second point, and then you're gonna put me out. Okay, here it is. Not only must you run with the reminder of your witnesses, you must run with the release of your weights. Runners need to run free. Okay. Think of the track team. Think of what they wear. Short, tight, minimal clothing. Right? Huh? Yeah, they in the sanctuary online church in the sanctuary they scared. So they ain't saying amen. So you got to, you know, put up the likes and the hearts and so that we know that somebody's listening. Okay. Short and minimal so as to offer freedom of movement, extreme lightness, and maximum ventilation. Tight for increase of blood circulation and delivery of oxygen for the support and that the body needs and improved performance. Here's what you never see on a runner in a race. Sweatpants. You don't see the runners with a hoodie and jeans on. Why? Because those things weigh them down and increase the resistance in the run. Okay, I'm going to try to work here now. Here's what this text is teaching us with regard to patient faith. You can't run efficiently if you are entangled. Okay, so here it is. Some of the reason why you've given up on your faith, don't leave. I'm just playing. Some of the reason why you've given up on your faith is because you are carrying too much weight and frustrated because it's slowing you down. We told you a couple of weeks ago, Tuesday night, that you know, King James Version uses the term beset. They so easily beset us. The weights and the sin that's talked about in verse number one. Beset as in with jewelry. It's like the setting of a stone and putting it in a setting, affixing it firmly, soldering it so that it does not move. That's what weight and sin becomes in our lives. It becomes an ornament, an unnecessary or an attachment to our lives. And the trip is we are using now our weights and our sin as jewelry. We let it adorn us. Instead of removing it so that we might run free. Weights and sin become the ornaments and the entanglements to our lives. Ornaments and entanglements that slow us down and distract us. I'm glad my helper is here because we're going to have to run out of here. Baby, go ahead and put your flats on. Okay. Wait. Somebody shout, wait. Wait. The unnecessary attachments. Your proclivities. Your idiosyncrasies. Your habits. It's the things we make allowances for that rob our focus, steal our time, and diminish our strength. It ain't sin, but it ain't healthy. Okay. It ain't sin, but it don't help you. Oh, okay, all right. It ain't bad, but it ain't good either. Oh, okay. Deaconess Rogers, I might need your help there in the corner. It's weight. This is what he calls it. Put your stuff down. I'm almost done. Watch this. Can I tell you a fun fact about weight? Can I tell you a fun fact about weight? Weight will fool you. Here's what weight will do. Weight will cause you to think, as long as you carry it well, you're okay. Wait. Don't go. Lord, they're walking out the church. Lord, wait, listen, sit out. Don't turn me off. Sit out. Wait, wait. Felicia, don't let them leave off TV. What? Wait. Oh, God. Okay. Here's the thing. Just because you carry it well doesn't mean you're even supposed to be carrying it. Wait. Sit. Let me finish. And this is why we give up on our faith. Because Elder Halyard, we got so much weight on us, and we think because it's not necessarily a sin that we're okay with all of the extra baggage that we carry. It ain't sin, but you've been holding that grudge for a long time. Ooh, boy. It ain't sin. It ain't sin. Wait. No, you will not go to hell for drinking alcohol. No, that is not what's going to send you to hell. That does not mean... You turn up every weekend. That's not what it means. I know. We're still trying to decide if the pothead can go to heaven. I mean, it's an herb. It's from the earth. God made it. Even if it ain't sin, it's a weight. You walk around here, can't have remember what day it is or what you had on this morning, and you still got it on. Y'all don't want to talk to me. I should have sat down for this. It ain't a sin, but it's a weight. Unless we outwork weight, there's sin there too. Wait now, and these are the things that are slowing us down. Now, what's interesting is the sin is anything that dishonors God. Whatever he's told you not to do, expressly, explicitly, directly. When you do it, you deliberately disobeyed me. All that. Now watch text, because this is going to hurt. This is gonna hurt. All right, brace yourself. The text says, verse 1, we are to strip off every weight and the sin. Do you see the text? Notice the descriptives. Every weight, the sin. Okay, wait. Okay, so wait, let's just play with the sin first. Because what he suggests to us, every weight, the sin, that there are quite possibly multiple weights and a specific sin. So we talk about the sin. Mike, there is one sin you got that has the potential to jack you up almost all the time. Like there is at least one thing you got. Can we just be real now? Look. Some you ain't battling 12 sins. Not a lot of you. Some of you are. Yeah. But bro, Leon, for most of us, we found a measure of improvement in our lives, but there's still one thing that always keeps resurfacing.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety or a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida, 888-382-3535. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.